to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Excellent. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I have Rachel Cerruti on with me today.
Hello, hello.
From Reclipped. Now, we got a lot to talk about today, and I'm excited to have you on. Welcome. Hi.
Oh my gosh. Hello. Hi, David. Thank you so much for having me. I am so honored to be a part of this community, to tell my story, and to get other people interested in upcycling.
Oh, and I love every time I hear the word upcycling on TV, movies, a clubhouse room, I feel like I need to have a drink just to celebrate, because I get to hear that word over and over again when many people don't understand what that actually is. Mm-hmm. So to hear you say that makes my heart glad.
Oh, I love it. I'll cheers you next time I hear it too. That's a great idea.
Excellent. So let's say we met each other on Clubhouse, stumbled into a room that you were hosting, and you're a great host, by the way, all around upcycling and more around the idea of fashion. So I am curious, as my listeners will be as well, about how you even got started in this, how this became your passion, and why it's important. So can you rewind us back a little bit and help us get caught up to today?
Yes, that's such a great question. I think learning about everybody's sustainability journey is really helpful, because a lot of us fall into the trap that we can only be zero waste, that's the only way, or we can only be vegan. But everybody's journey is different, and how you want to contribute to, you know, reducing your carbon footprint or whatever you want to do, you can do it in your own way. So honestly, if you want to start from the beginning, I grew up in a household that we saved jars, we saved everything. Everything could be something. So I think that was kind of part of my DNA growing up. And then I volunteered with the Peace Corps in Uganda, East Africa. And that was my first time I saw where secondhand clothes go and how much of it. Every Thursday, really? There was a market. And I found an Hermes scarf for what was equivalent to $1. But you also saw a lot of just cheap trash clothing that typically more developed economies send to these developing or emerging economies. And it's just it's a blanketed way of, it's disguised as donations, but it truly is just sending your trash somewhere else, because it does inevitably lead to their landfills, because nobody wants clothes with holes in it or poorly made clothes. And more importantly, a lot of these countries want clothes that people in their country made, or it's their style, or to have more connection to. So that's kind of where I first saw the secondhand market and the enormous amount of fashion that's being produced, with my own eyes. And then I went to grad school, and I thought I was going to get into more of the Peace Corps route and do economic development, but I stumbled upon sustainable banking and finance and learned that there's ways to put money towards a more sustainable investment or future or product or brand. That's really where I dove into sustainability. And that's where I made the connection between waste and climate change. We have so much waste, and it really is a huge contributor to climate change. And so, of course, I got overwhelmed. I think a lot of us get overwhelmed when you think about what can I do to help reduce the impacts of everything that I'm doing. So I think, like a lot of people, I was like, I have to go zero waste. I have to eliminate everything. And it's impossible. I'll say it here. I think a huge myth is that zero waste is possible, at least in the community I live in. So then I slowly, through trial and error, found fashion. I have no background in fashion. I mainly just wear black, like all New Yorkers do. But I realized what I put on my body and what I don't is very impactful for the environment, for social issues, for economic, political, you know, all everything, globalization, very impactful. So I decided to kind of look at fashion and how it can be more sustainable my fashion specifically. And that's where I found upcycling. That's where I found upcycle fashion. And I just fell in love. It is essentially taking something that would have been thrown away and making it into something new. So as close as you can get to the idea of zero waste in fashion. And it can be jewelry, it can be t-shirts, it can be shoes, coats, anything can be upcycle fashion. And I kind of forget the other question you had too. I rambled a bit there.
No, it's good. So that just like how your journey and how you got to this point and why this is important to you.
Why? So that's like, I think, like I mentioned, the connection between waste and climate change really popped out when I studied it. And specifically textiles. So fashion. Okay. So I think what a lot of people don't understand is when things are put into a landfill, they take many, many years, sometimes hundreds of years to decompose. And that's food, that's polyester, that's plastic, right? Mm-hmm. And as they're decomposing and getting layers and layers and layers on top of each other in a landfill, they're emitting harmful gases that do increase temperature, global temperatures. So reducing your waste is a really, I think, good way to help fight climate change. And like I said earlier, fashion was one of the ways that I could control it. You know, yes, I compost, yes, I can reduce my single-use plastic, but for me, fashion was the way to really go about reducing my my waste. So it's important to me because I want to have a planet where we can live, and that, you know, I'm about to be an aunt, so where my future niece can live in peace and harmony and all that. So it's important because it's longevity. And I also love upcycled fashion because it's so cool and unique. Typically one of a kind.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like off the rack. There's 20 of the same thing. It's totally one of one. And that's one of the things we have for our little business is we really focus in on the story behind the product, where it came from, and the fact that there's only one. So you can't get, there's not a tractor trailer backing up with 400 of these. Mm-hmm. There's one. And people love to buy into the story. I think the one thing you're touching on too is a mindset shift for consumers, where we are taught and groomed to have the latest cell phone, smartphone, shoes, jewelry, clothes. And it's like there's just this never-ending stream of the next that we all want to be a part of, right?
Mm-hmm. Society tells us we have to be part of it. Right?
So we are creating our own worst nightmare in just trying to keep up with the people around us, right? Mm-hmm. So explain to me how your mindset has shifted, maybe compared to some of the people that you might do life with every day.
Yeah, I think this is a great segue into fast fashion, Shein, Forever 21. I you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I would be a regular at Zara. I loved Mango. You go to Forever 21 if you wanted a jacket to fit with this outfit, right? So I think now knowing how just incredibly detrimental fast fashion is to every aspect of the supply chain, not only the environment, but like I mentioned, social, political, economic issues. That's definitely how I differ. How I shop, where I shop, and how I take care of my clothes too. I think kind of talking about keeping up with these trends, that's obviously not by accident. These fast fashion brands conditioned us to not only get access to the newest and latest trends, but get it cheaply and get it immediately. You know, they're ripping styles from the runway and putting it into your mall for $7.99. So consumers are used to it now, and it's really hard to unlearn and to rip yourself away from that. I think my favorite example, if I can kind of explain this, is the idea of skinny jeans versus mom jeans. I'm not sure, David, if you're familiar with this. It's it's targeted towards females and typically younger women, younger, I should say 18 to 40.
Okay.
Yep. So anyway, so for 10 years, skinny jeans were the thing. Skinny jeans were selling like hotcakes. They looked good on everyone. They were super flattering. And then the fashion industry realized, okay, people are buying a few pairs of skinny jeans and then not buying any more jeans. So obviously their sales are not doing as well as they could. So they threw the black skinny jean. They threw up the ripped skinny jean. They threw up the white skinny jean. They threw up anything we could until finally we had all the skinny jeans that we needed and we weren't buying denim. So that means no sales. That means, you know, nothing good to report to investors and shareholders. Mm-hmm. So as of late, so then obviously right before the pandemic, denim was plateauing. And they tried to make flared jeans a thing. We weren't buying it. We loved our skinny jeans. So then the pandemic hit and we all just wore sweatpants. And so as you can imagine, here's denim. Pandemic, we're not buttoning pants while we're sitting around.
Are you serious?
what do you think I am? So, you know, as people started emerging out of their homes during the pandemic, they threw mom jeans at us, which is a looser, more relaxed, higher waisted jean. And they targeted it towards millennials. Or no. What's the younger one? Gen Z? Like, I think they're the younger, the kids in the middle school, high school, you know, college, because that's the next generation of denim brands, of denim buyers. So they kind of told everyone, these mom jeans are cool. Let's start buying these. And then they pitted millennials or, you know, anyone 30, 40 plus who was already buying skinny jeans against this younger generation saying it's cool to wear mom jeans. It's not cool to wear skinny jeans. And what did that do? Made us buy more jeans. So following these, that's a really long-winded way of following these trends. Yeah. We do it to ourselves and they're smart. Their marketing is great and they know how to get us to buy more stuff by unfortunately pitting us against each other now with generationally.
Right. So is there an actual definition in your mind to what fast fashion is, if you could define it?
Yeah, that's such a, I was actually thinking about this question, how I wanted to define it. The way I would define it is a brand that is creating cheap, and cheap meaning the labor is inexpensive and the materials are inexpensive, cheap fashion at very fast rates, having about 52 seasons a year. So every week there's something new in their store.
Okay. So I'm looking at it too. Like if you go to, we won't mention their name, but the largest retailer in the world and you shop their clothing section, you see clothes that are not meant to last for a long period of time.
Correct.
They quickly will wear out, come apart, fall apart, and they're not meant to last like our grandmothers would make our clothes that would last us. All kids, every generation would wear the same clothes and you kept recycling within your family. These clothes last you maybe one season and you're done with them. And it just seems like you're on a continual hamster wheel of buying the next thing, right? And you're not keeping it for long term. You don't have a long term commitment to this. It's like you're dating your clothes, I guess.
Mm-hmm. The average piece of clothing in the US is worn 6 times.
Okay, wait a minute. 6 times.
At first, when you think about it, it's unbelievable. And also, 20% of clothes are never worn. It's estimated 20%. They either stay in someone's closet with tags on, or they're just not sold at the store.
Wow.
Yeah. I've been saying these facts for years now and I still get goosebumps. We are not wearing our clothes and we're not wearing them often enough. And let me clarify too. I keep saying we as a consumer and we're just in the system, right? It's not our fault. It's like you mentioned, clothes are made cheaply. They probably rip after the first, second, third wear. You know, we have to keep up with the trend. So what was popular 2 months ago is no longer popular. So we truly are, like I said, we're in a hamster wheel and it's not our fault. We can do our best, but it's by design.
Is this something that's natively in our part of the world, or is this a global thing, this whole fast fashion?
Yeah, it's definitely US, or I should say, let me say the West. But a lot of fashion brands and investors are looking at the Chinese market now too. I mean, I have to mention Shein. So I have to kind of back up before I mention Shein though, because we just talked about fast fashion and the number one fast fashion brand by revenue is Zara, and their model, how they kind of got to where they are, is they everything is in-house. They can design, ship out. They can design, create, ship out, and keep that loop going in-house. And it takes about 2 weeks for them to turn around a design. So the best example I can give is maybe a blue shirt is doing really well at Zara. That those numbers go back to headquarters, so they design a blue dress or a shirt in purple. Like they just modify that. They modify whatever's doing well, and they can pump it out in 2 weeks. So that's why they can do so well. And similarly, if something's not doing well, they stop that design. So that's what kind of brought Zara to the forefront. So in enters Shein. Shein can now do that digitally. They can see what's being clicked, what's being saved, what's being bought, what's not being bought. And even before it's in a, you know, it's on a, so even before someone's searching it or putting it on their body or trying it on, they know if it's doing well or not. So they're actually calling Shein faster or real-time fashion, which is horrifying, not to be dramatic, but I mean, that think about how much excess, how many clothes are not being worn, being made, but not being worn. And then also the textile waste too, from creating all these clothes. So yeah, it's getting faster and faster. And that's, I guess to answer your question, that is Shein is a Chinese company, which is of course global, but the Chinese market is really on investors and fashion brands. Brain.
The other side of all of this is just the environmental hit and just creating the clothes to begin with, whether they're worn or not, a pair of jeans, how much water does that take, right? Like there's a lot of impacts just on the natural resources to create this problem in a sense that we're living with. And have we been better with everything, that would not be such a big hit on the planet in the first case.
Yeah. Right?
Just as that resource draw.
And I think in the beginning I mentioned fashion is every part of the supply chain. All, you know, so they are the raw material. They're agriculture. They're growing the materials. They are making the materials. They are designing. They're shipping. They are in stores. You know, it's every part of the supply chain has fashion at the forefront. And it's just depleting. It's just so the impact is incredible. I mean, it's estimated that 8 to 10% of all carbon emission comes from the fashion industry. And that's environmental, social issues also arise too. It was just the anniversary of Rana Plaza on the 24th. That was about 8, 9, 10 years ago. And for those who are not familiar, in Bangladesh there was a garment worker factory that collapsed and 2,000 people hurt and killed. And unfortunately not much has changed since then. So to put it into perspective, another factor figure, sorry, I'm just throwing out a lot of numbers.
I like it. That's good.
That's how my brain operates. But globally, fashion employs 1 out of 6 people, which is huge. Okay. Now, 80% of that is female. It's women. Okay. And then of all the people employed by fashion, less than 2% earn a living wage. So fashion is, hurting women. If you think about it, to make connections there too, it's economically disadvantaging women. Not to mention that they're in these garment factories that are poorly ventilated and locked doors because they want to avoid theft, that are just the fumes and all everything is not making a lot of money. I'm barely making living wage and in an awful working environment.
So that's kind of touches on fast fashion. What's the opposite then?
Then you have slow fashion. So opposite of fast is slow. So slow fashion is truly the anti-fast fashion. It encourages people to slow down. The word I like to use is to shop intentionally. I have so many tangents to run on, but I have to promote Reclip. So we say shop intentionally, which comes from one of our brands, Untrend. That's truly their wording. But we say don't even click buy and try it on and return it. We don't actually accept returns because it's estimated 25% of returns end up in a landfill. So when you're returning things, they're going right to a landfill. So it's basically slow fashion, taking a step back, knowing your measurements, knowing what you need, knowing what you want, finding the difference between that, and truly shopping your values. You know, if your values are a good material, then you're shopping and you're trying to find a good material that will last a long time. If your values are limiting your carbon emissions, you're probably upcycling. You're probably thrifting. So shopping your values, slowing down your purchasing speed.
So I remember seeing a documentary on the returns that go to we won't name them again. You don't get free advertising, but you can shop online and you can have things delivered to your door within a day or two. Mm. I think you kind of know who I'm chatting about, but I would hear people who would buy, four different colors of the same garment to see which one they like best. And they would just return the other three. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And because there's free returns. That's a great idea. I like the idea of free returns. Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. But when you find out what happens to the returns, when they come back to the source where they came from, and the fact that they are probably not even resold, they're just discarded. And they've again, never been worn.
True.
Right? Never been purchased.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
And now waste. Yeah, no, right?
Yeah,
it is cheaper.
Exactly. It's cheaper to throw it out than to restock it. Restocking requires paying someone, requires probably some software, requires shipping things around. And it's just easier to toss it, easier and cheaper.
So where, Rachel, in the process is the error being made as the company offering this, as the consumer taking advantage of it, for both? Like, how we talked about mindset, you know, I want it now. I want my options. I want to try it on. I'm not going to the mall anymore. I'm going to shop online from my iPhone. So I'm in control. My money's talking. This is how I want to be a consumer, and companies are adjusting to that. So where does the onus lie in this whole process?
Oh my gosh, the $1 million question, right? In my opinion, I say a large majority is on the brand, the corporations, the company. Okay. Kind of similar to our what we were talking about returns. Mm-hmm. We as consumers are just used to free returns. We just got used to it, and so you can't really blame us for wanting to save a buck and wanting to try on what color looks best. And especially with the pandemic, we didn't have changing rooms. We had our living rooms and a mirror, so we just got used to buying three of something. Let me start. I do think it's corporations. I mean, the second richest person, of course, according to Forbes, owns Zara. So they're making money, and their goal is to make money. They want to make their shareholders money, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. However, I do strongly believe in the fact that we live in an age where everything is accessible. We can find out what brands are, what they're spending their money on, who's on their board, where their suppliers are, how they're treating their garment workers, how they're treating their retail associates too, right? So I do think it is on the consumer in the way of we should be more curious. We should be asking questions. We should be thinking twice, again, back to slow fashion, thinking about our purchases, because we have it at our fingertips. Truly, I mean, on your phone, right?
Yeah.
You can find out where Zara produces the clothes. I don't want to put a number on it, but I'd probably say it's a large majority corporations, and we need a little more curiosity from consumers.
Okay, so we've kind of caught up to our present day situation. We've talked about fast fashion, slow fashion. We have Rachel on here from Reclipped. So let's talk about what's exciting you when you look out into the space and you see people who are doing things differently and going against the trends and creating new ways to look at fashion in a more eco-friendly way. Who is exciting you right now? Who has caught your attention?
Ooh, who's exciting? I guess I have a few brands that I'm loving. Actually, this one I just mentioned, Untrend. Oh, shoot. I usually wear a sweater. If you follow us on Instagram, you'll see me in this sweater. I'm always wearing it's light. And it was my favorite sweater. It's beautiful, but it had holes all throughout. Yeah. And so Untrend, that brand, embroidered over the holes. And now it's this beautiful, unique sweater that has my company's name on it that I get so many compliments on all the time.
Nice.
So I'm really, embroidery is really catching my eye. I'm trying even in my own world to do some hand stitch embroidery. I'm really, really into upcycled denim too. I think there's a lot happening in that space. Just off the top of my head, people are kind of patchworking denim. People are bleaching denim. People are painting denim. So there's a lot in denim right now. But I also don't want to, I surprised myself, thought I was kind of in this world of upcycling. And just recently I discovered the reach of upcycled jewelry too. I have one designer on Reclip that, she has a necklace made from old chandelier parts. How cool is that? I mean, oh my gosh. So I think the emergence of accessories is pretty exciting in upcycled fashion too.
That's exciting. We have a vendor in our store that's from Quebec, and she does it based on guitar, piano, and violin strings.
Oh, yeah.
Making jewelry out of that. And it's just so unique and exciting to see somebody who can be that creative with something that really is waste, that has no other purpose. What else can you do with this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it's nice to see people who find a gap and jump in and fill that. That's exciting. And that's the idea behind the podcast too, is just to shine a light on people who are not just talking about it, but actually doing something about this.
Yeah.
You know, and making a stride forward and being part of the solution. So I love the fact that your website highlights that, and you're doing some things in person as well. Talk about that, where you meet with the public and highlight upcycling as far as in the textile world.
Yeah. So recently Reclipped has been dabbling with growing our mending club. And that all stems from the idea that we just want to combat the idea of disposable fashion. The idea of throwing away a textile should be an afterthought. Or I'm sorry, shouldn't even be a thought, because it can be something. Even if it's a rag, it can be something. So recently, actually just this past weekend, we were out, I'm based in New York City. We were in Brooklyn, and we had a mending club, and about 30, 40 people showed up. And we taught darning, which is when you do kind of this weaving work typically over socks, but it can be really done on any clothing. We also do patchwork. Simple stitch, simple single stitch mending, and a little bit of embroidery too. Because whether you are purchasing an upcycled piece that's already done, or you have a piece that you want to upcycle yourself, or you have a piece that you want an upcycler to upcycle. How many times can I say upcycle?
Yeah.
disposable fashion needs to be a thing of the past. And we're hoping to lead the charge and do that by working with people, you know, in mending circles. And we also have swaps too. If you're unfamiliar, clothing swaps are when you bring clothes, everybody brings clothes, and you just have this, typically it's an honor code of, if I bring five things, I typically leave with around five things. And just the idea of, just because it's no longer of use to me doesn't mean someone else won't use it.
I love it. It's the idea of extending the length of time for that garment as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
In some cases, it's not what I wear, or it's not my style anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of tossing it away, maybe somebody can use it in a different way or love it the way it is.
Right. And I can get something out of it too. I get rid of this and maybe I get a jacket that I now love or something. So it's definitely a win-win from all ends.
So where do you see this going in the future? Do you really think that we can change the mindset of a consumer that wants it now and wants it with no strings attached, and I can make the choices I want and I don't really have an impact on the environment? Do you think that we can ever change that mindset? Because I look back at my grandparents and great grandparents, the idea of mending your clothes and fixing your things, they did that because they didn't have the option of 25 pairs of skinny jeans. they would have one or two garments and they would have to make them last. Mm-hmm. And they would sit there and fix them because that's all I have. I don't know if we could ever take our current society to the point where they realize that you have five outfits and that's it, and make them last. I don't know how that would ever happen, but how do we educate the next generation coming up behind us when they have the ability to have everything anytime, all the time?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. To answer it, I think yes, I think we can, but it will take a lot of time and we need cooperation from every aspect of this detrimental cycle, which includes the companies, the brands, the shareholders, the investors, the politicians. We need policy. We need to elect people that can put into policy change,
yes,
things that will change. And we need consumers. We need to educate consumers. And I think to answer that, how do we educate consumers? Is we need to just provide options. There isn't one fix to combating disposable fashion. We touched upon mending, touched upon swapping, upcycling. You can also rent clothes. You can also kind of do a lot of DIY with it. So I think if we provide options, you can also thrift. All these things are coming to my head, but there are so many options to ensure that disposable fashion is a thing of the past. And we just need to tell the consumers, here are your options, and then they can choose which works for them. Because it's not a cookie cutter, everybody must upcycle. No, if you don't like upcycled fashion or that just isn't your thing, you check out the thrift store, check out the RealReal, you know, rent the runway, whatever works through Poshmark, and find what works for you. So yeah, I do think it can happen, but it has to take a lot of actors working together.
I would love to see the day, Rachel, when you can walk into a store or shop online and you have two choices. Choice number A, made by a woman in a country, and she was paid this much per day to make this garment for you. The garment material costs are X, and we're selling it to you for Y. Compared to item number B, made by someone locally. This person makes a living wage. The materials are recycled and repurposed, and the cost of materials are this, and the price is higher because now we're also paying a living wage to the person who made it. So you have a choice of a discounted item made in the not the best situation, and you have something that's more expensive, but better quality and done and honoring the person who made it.
Yeah.
And just to see the consumer's reaction to product A and product B, are you more driven to save money? Or is it all about you, or is it all about the person who made the product?
Yeah.
I would love to see that dichotomy of the two and a customer standing there in front of this display just trying to decide what my money means to me and to these people.
That's exactly why I think I mentioned shop your values. And values isn't monetary. It's whatever you truly hold true to yourself. And what's important to you. So you're actually touching upon where I'd love to see Reclipped in the future. I'd love to have a buyer, I guess, enter our e-commerce store rather than a store and say, here are some upcycled pieces already done. And here is the option to upcycle something that you already have. And here's the option to do it yourself. All across the price range, all across the accessibility and style and value. And again, like I said, giving them an option. And I don't think we're close to that, to be honest, but I think it's in the future. I mean, it has to be in the future. We're going to be just drowning in textiles, if not something else, if we don't cut this out and change our ways.
So we talked about Reclip being a global thing for you, a global focus, not just geographically to where you're located. So if people are listening to this, we're in, at this point, 50 countries, which we're really happy about.
Yay.
They're listening to this and they want to connect with you. They do upcycled, repurposed textiles, different things, and they want to get in your world. Maybe they want to speak to you or they want to somehow get connected with your website. What is the best way for people to be in touch with you to build a relationship with you?
I think number one is our Instagram. Really try to engage and educate and promote on Instagram. So that's just at Reclipped, which is R-E-C-L-Y-P-T. There's also the website, same thing, www.reclipped.com is where you can shop and read the blog. And there you can also sign up for our newsletter. We send out, you know, the newest feature designer, or we send out, you know, where you can find Reclipped this weekend, or, you know, the latest mending technique we want to teach. So I definitely would definitely start with the Instagram. And okay. Also, can I just talk about why I called it Reclip too?
Because yeah, is, I would love
maybe
to
help
hear
people
this.
Remember how to spell it. I first of all, trademarking is the worst. I had so many ideas for names, and then this and that. And finally, I love eucalyptus plant. So I took the clipped eucalyptus in there, and I just put re in front of it. So if that helps you remember, Reclip eucalyptus, and it's also like re, like snip snip snip.
So you love eucalyptus? I take it.
I love it. I love the smell. I grew up with my mom kind of putting it in our foyer. So yeah, if that helps people remember.
Well, there you go. Now we have a personal attraction to your brand. This is great. I love hearing the story behind a brand.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So what's coming up next? What's happening? What can we be excited and what can we look forward to coming from Reclipped?
I don't want to brag, but Reclipped is, we got big things coming. I just got off a call yesterday with the community ops coordinator, and just, I texted her after. I said, my mind is buzzing with ideas. But enough cliffhangers. We really want to open up the mending and DIY and simple stitches and upcycle at home, if you will, options, which can then open the door for upcycle designers and purchasing upcycle fashion, you know, getting their work out there. We have a mending club. If you're in New York City, we have a mending club in May. So again, follow our Instagram to find more information about that. We have one in June in Upper East Side. Again, more information if you stay in touch. And we are hoping to kind of open up like a, if you're not in New York City, we hope to make mending accessible via videos and step-by-step and mending kits and all these great things. You can do it at home. You don't have to be in New York City or one of the cities that we're in.
Excellent. So you get that DIY, do it yourself, DIY aspect. You can get the how-to. Those are always big, right? On any search, how do I fix my rip in my clothes? How do I, right?
Right.
So those are really searchable items that people are definitely looking for. Mm-hmm. So if you can step in and fill that gap in this space, that's huge.
Oh, thanks for saying that. Right? That's exactly what we're trying to do. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, like we talk about search engine optimization, right? And people are going into Google and typing these things in. Mm-hmm. How do I blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
And if you can fill that and answer that question, you will be the top result in drawing people into your world. That's great.
Oh my God, I love it. It's so funny because I definitely have this mindset of I want to remain sustainable and I don't want to be one of these like big brands. But at the same time, if I'm helping people and I'm becoming bigger, then it's all good. So that makes me I do grapple back and forth with, I don't want to go too big and get out of hand and be part of the problem. But I think if you're helping people and doing it consciously, that makes me feel better. So thank you. Thanks for saying that.
That's excellent. So what can we leave off with today? What's your advice to people listening? How can they make a change with their shopping habits, with their mentality, their mindset? How can people make a change in their world after listening to this podcast?
My number one piece of advice is give yourself grace. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to use single use plastic and put it in the garbage. You might come across some H&M and wear it and love it. And that's fine. Yeah. But I think give yourself grace and know that it's a journey and know that it's always evolving. But know that you have to stick to, again, what your values are, what's important to you. So take some time. I'd say really map out what's important to you and how you can apply that to, you know, fashion or your consumption in general. And go from there. It's all, everybody's journey is unique. So you can't judge others and don't judge yourself. Do the best you can.
So can you, if you haven't yet, can you create a blog about this? Because I'd love to share this with people about how they can create what means something to them.
That's
right. As they're like a filter, as glasses, as a way to filter out all the noise.
Like an online quiz or something.
Something like these five steps will help you to be a better consumer and make better choices.
That's
I would love to share that kind of information.
So you're reinforcing everything I want Reclip to be. That's actually how I want to, as part of this change, is we're updating the website too. And part of it is how to find your values, how to shop your values.
Yeah.
So just stay tuned. We're in a big, the summer's going to be a big kind of growing and learning and turning phase. Yeah. But yeah, definitely stay tuned. I'd love to put out a blog post and let people find their values via reflect.
So can I get one promise from you, Rachel?
Yes, please.
That you'll come back and update us on all this in the future?
Oh my gosh, I'd be honored to. Absolutely honored. I cannot say how much I love your podcast, how much I love chatting with you and being a part of this community. So I'll update you. You might regret that, actually. I might update you too much. Hopefully,
I've always I've always appreciated your Clubhouse rooms and the way you encourage makers, right? Everybody's coming with a different thing that they do or are passionate about. And you bring out the passion in people in those rooms, yeah. Which is excellent. And that's why when I first came in the room, I'm not huge in the fashion space because I'm focused on different areas of upcycling, but I kind of came in and went, oh, I hope this is okay for me to be in here. And you were embracing from day one. So thank you for making a space for upcyclers to feel part of a bigger group. It means a lot. And we're up here in Canada, right? So we still have people who think that we're a bicycle repair shop or a spin class because we have the word cycle in our name. And it's hard to change people's, they're like, can you define what this is? I'm like, well, you're standing in it. You're in the store.
Yes.
Everything you see used to be something else, right? We're repurposing. We're saving things from the landfill. This used to be a piano and now it's a shelf. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, what? You know, like you're just extending every part of anything material that can be repurposed. And mm-hmm. what you're doing on Reclipped is just another huge example of how one person can make a difference. And, you know, I know you have your team and I know you have your community around you, but you're leading this. So thank you for doing that.
That warms my heart. And that's exactly what Reclip aims to be. Whatever we're doing, we want to uplift upcyclers. So that means so much, truly, truly. And again, so honored to be part of this community. I love hearing, I just listened to a bunch of the podcast earlier. I love hearing everyone. I love stories. So I love hearing everyone's stories. So thank you for highlighting them.
Thank you. And thank you for being one to highlight. We appreciate you taking time for us today. It's awesome.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
All right. Everybody, this is Rachel from Reclipped. Make sure you go and check out Instagram for sure. Mm. Go there first. Go to the website, reclipped.com, and get a part of her world. And you will love and appreciate all the great things happening on reclipped.com.
Thanks so much, Rachel. Thank you.
Awesome.
Take care.
See ya.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.